The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and This Week in Comics. This week we're going to be talking Darth Vader, number one. We're locking the door. We're going spoilers at the end of the podcast. So if you've read the book, stick around for that. But before all that, we've got news for Disney Plus. We've got Picard talk. We've got a whole bunch of books that we've read. Definitely my favorite time of the week. Love talking to John. So let's get into the store. Hey, John, I'm really excited to be here. Darth Vader. We'll talk about it later, but I wanted to open the show with that book.
Yeah.
We spoke briefly today through text.
Yep.
And we'll get to our opinions of it later, but I completely agree with you. But I think that's a book worth talking about at the end. We got to do Kryptonite Key Club because it's a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll talk about it. I don't want to give away all of it now, because then we don't have to talk about it later.
mean, that's called a big market tease right
yeah.
there.
That's why the milk's in the back of the store.
Hey, there you go. You're getting what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. How about you?
Oh, going good. Doldrums of winter, you know.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Lots of reading.
Yeah.
Got a lot of reading done today. That was nice. Bunch of books coming out.
Yeah, there was a lot today. I mean, I read a few things today. I didn't read a ton, but I read 4 or 5 books today. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. We'll get to that. What do we got for news? We have breaking news, literally. Breaking rumors, should we say?
Well, if you start then, because I don't know what you're talking about. So.
Sam Raimi?
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
That's what I was going to tweet out, and then I was like, wait a minute, we're about to start podcasting
tomorrow
morning,
so
why not just talk about it, you know?
Yeah,
I think that's the way it's going to be. Like, some people love that. Some people are going to hate that. I'm kind of like, I think between, like, Spider-Man and Evil Dead, supposedly this is going to be a great pick for, you know, this movie.
Right. Well, you know, I love the Evil Dead movies, but I love them as cheesy, you know, they're just cheesy horror
Never
flicks.
Seen them.
You know, they're...
I'm not a horror guy.
Really stupid, cheesy movies, but, you know, I like them. And, of course, you know, Spider-Man 2 was... Well, Spider-Man 1 and 2 were great, but Spider-Man 3 wasn't so good. So, you know, it depends on where... Again, he has the potential to make a great movie, I guess, but...
Yeah.
Just wouldn't have been who I didn't think Marvel was going to be in the Sam Raimi business for these movies. So,
this is all just rumor.
Well, of course, but
you know,
but most of these things are based in some kind of, you know, meeting or like they come from somewhere. You know, I mean,
yeah, but it's like Variety is the one that I saw report at first, and then I confirmed it by seeing a bunch of other sites quoting Variety. So we know it's legit. like always.
Right, but actually Variety, you know, as far as, like, pretty well respected in the Hollywood scene.
They're more of the legit.
It's like a trade,
like,
it's like the Hollywood Trade magazine, you know, so they should have a fairly good grasp on what's going on.
Yeah, they don't put out stuff they can't back, usually.
Right.
As opposed to a bunch of other ones that
we got
know.
This covered and, you know,
oh my God.
All these other ones that come up, but...
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it. But I've seen other people, it's saying breaking, he's officially been hired, but no sites or you know, they can't cite anything, they're just saying it. And in the same tweet, they're saying he's one of the greatest directors of all time, so like, I don't know about that.
Again, what's your grading scale there? 'Cause,
right.
You know. I mean, you got Martin Scorsese. You know, you got some pretty good directors out there. So I don't know that Sam Raimi, you know, I don't know that Evil Dead holds up to Goodfellas or The Godfather or, you know, I mean, so.
Or Ace Ventura.
Yeah, for that matter. Cannonball Run 2, Star Trek The Motion Picture. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on, so.
Oh, man. Speaking of that, that was pretty funny. I didn't save the tweet. Who tweeted at us about that the other day?
I don't remember who
it was.
Wish
I saved it. Did I save it? I thought I did. He hated the movie when he was like 10 years old.
Well, something about he saw it for his birthday party when he was 10 and his friends still won't talk to him or something like that. So.
Yeah. That's funny.
His friends are still mad at him.
hey, it was bad, but like I said, we have to get together and watch it and have some drinks. Yeah. We got to find a, you know what? I thought of it afterwards. We have to find a way to make it a drinking game.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do repetitively.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what keeps happening. Well, every time they show the Enterprise, but before they get through that 10-minute scene, we'll be like passed out on the ground because it's literally.
I just thought of it right now. Every time they like go in for a close shot of a character, you have to drink the entire time they hold the shot.
Oh, we'd be dead. It's like alcohol poisoning. So
it was so. Oh man. Oh man. All right, that was fun. Hey, bright side. What do you got for news?
A lot of Disney Plus stuff. Most of this came out of Bob Iger's earnings call, I guess, that he had with the shareholders this week, talking about how things are going with Disney Plus and what they have upcoming. So he did, yeah. He let slip that I guess Disney Plus is up to 28 million active subscribers now, which is pretty good. You know, they had 10 million in November when they started, so that's pretty good growth for, you know, for this time frame. It just goes to show that, again, as much as the rumors were out there about how many people were dropping now that The Mandalorian was done, I mean, their numbers are still pretty solid at this point. So, you know, I guess they have a goal. I can't remember what it was now, and a 3 to 5 year goal of being at like 100 million subscribers. So, I mean, they're, you know, it's a pretty good chunk. You got 28 million.
They're not going to grab 28 a year.
No, they won't.
You know, it's going to be pretty slow from here.
Again, it's a 4 or 5 year plan. So,
plan, right.
So, again, and, you know, they've got a lot of stuff upcoming that we're going to talk about here in a second. But, you know, so we got Owen Wilson, which this didn't actually come out of the call. This broke before the call. But Owen Wilson being cast in the Loki series. I don't see it, to be honest with you. I like Owen Wilson, but I like him in Shanghai Noon or Starsky and Hutch. Like, he's a goofball Ben Stiller comedy guy. Like, I don't necessarily see him in a superhero show.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't dislike him at all, but just not who I would have thought of, you know, top of the list for one of these shows. But, you know. Mr. Mom was Batman, or, you know, so
exactly.
Actors are actors. I don't think he's going to be bad. It's just not what I, not what I pictured, you know,
right.
It wasn't top of mind for one of these shows, but I'm interested to see what, you know, what he will do, or what role he's going to play in there. Of all the shows that are coming up, Loki to me seems like the one that will be have the most humor kind of built in, just based on the character of Loki, you know, so.
Yeah.
I can see where, you know,
I
again,
think
of all the shows.
Will have humor, but will we take to it?
Right. So yeah, again, we'll see, but again, no word on who he's playing, but definitely, looks like he was looks like he is cast, though. It's not necessarily a rumor. It is something that they've announced. Star Wars front, again, according to Bob Iger, TV is the future of Star Wars, at least for the foreseeable future. Doesn't mean there won't be films, but it looks like they're really putting their money and effort into Disney Plus when it comes to Star Wars. Again, you know, we've talked about this before. I have no problem with that.
Right.
You know, I wish it would all just be Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But, you know, we know, you know, Cassian Andor. We know Mandalorian Season 2. We know Obi-Wan. So, I mean, we already know that they're focusing a lot on TV. But, you know, according to this call, you know, they're talking about characters from The Mandalorian spinning off into other shows. Maybe like Cara Dune or one of the, or even like Moff Gideon or something.
Yeah.
Having a show, which, you know, again, you know, I don't know what a Moff Gideon show would look like. You know, he's cool on his own, or he's cool as the bad guy in The Mandalorian. I don't know if I need to see him in his own show, but I'm sure if they do it, they'll have a take that'll be interesting and,
yeah,
you know, make us want to watch it.
Well, actually, can you think of a take that they've had that's been bad?
On Disney Plus or just in general?
In general, on this, on the stuff that we're interested in, that Marvel or Disney has done that we would go, wow, that was really bad.
No, not yet.
Right.
But, yeah. But again, there's...
Always the optimist.
Well, but I mean...
No, not yet.
I mean, you know, again, as great as Marvel or Disney is, you know, quote unquote, with all these Marvel movies and all that stuff, at some point, something's going to be a stinker. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, sooner or something's going to come along that's not going to hit. Well, I mean, I guess Solo, who is the really didn't hit.
I liked it.
Well, we like it. But I mean,
but that's
it wasn't,
what I mean. I get what you're saying.
But
like,
I'm just
some
saying,
of
sooner or something's going to bomb eventually. You know, but so far, yeah, they haven't announced anything that I'm not excited for. Like, I really am excited for Cassian Andor. I can't wait for Obi-Wan. I'll watch the Baby Yoda spinoff if they do it, you know. So, I mean, yeah, there's so far no bad takes, but like I said, I like that they're focusing a lot on, you know, Disney Plus. Again, there was no mention in there that they're not going to do movies ever again or what have you, but
No, I think they're trying to promote Disney Plus too. That's
Again,
that's when that subscribership will go up.
Well,
probably
exactly.
This summer, it'll, when all of these, the dates that we got,
yeah,
which most of them we knew. The only one that I didn't know was the actual date of was what, WandaVision, right?
Well, right. And
that's
so
in December.
Yeah, that was the last thing I had as far as Disney Plus. We didn't get concrete dates. We got release months.
Months, right,
you know,
which we already had.
Which we kind of already knew, right? Falcon and Winter Soldier, they announced for August. We didn't know when
2 weeks ago.
We didn't know when Mandalorian Season 2 was going to hit, but they're targeting October. I would have thought November just to coincide with when season one debuted.
When they announced October, I thought that was a month early because I was assuming everybody was, because they said coming next fall. So we were thinking, okay, November, it'll drop the same time it did this year. And the fact they gave us October, now it could be October 20th for all
it
we
could
know.
Be, but I think it's because again, we got WandaVision announced for December. So
that's all 3 months apart.
Right. So maybe they didn't want to have November, December release. You know, this gives them kind of 2 months between. Because these shows are going to run for, the two Marvel shows are 6 episodes and Mandalorian's 8 episodes. You know, so 8 episodes starting in October bumps you right into December.
Right.
So I think that's what they're thinking is that, you know, they don't want overlap of any of these shows. You know, they're going to have only one going at a time.
Just off of that, so the first show is going to be Falcon Winter Soldier. That could drop, like, say it dropped August 28th, which is a Friday. That would take you...
6 weeks.
6 episodes. Yeah. That would take you right until, like, the 28th, 4th. That would take you to, like, the 9th. I'm sorry, not the 9th. The 6th... No, yeah, the 9th of October.
Right. And that would bump
you
right into the Mandalorian. So let's say it gives you a week off and then you go into the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And then you go 8 weeks and then you're in the middle of December and you get WandaVision. So I think that's what they're, again, I don't think we're ever going to have overlap of any of these shows.
No like overlap, but I don't think we'll have the gaps that we have right now.
Right. They should pretty much going forward. I would think that they're all going to basically, like we should have one going almost all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm getting excited already. Yeah. I'm like, all right, when's August?
Because then you get into like the first quarter of 2021, and then you start looking at Loki, and you start looking at, you know, that would put Loki, say, like let's say they put Loki in early February. That's 6 weeks after WandaVision ends.
Oh, my God.
So.
And all, if you keep rotating these things, you'll be right back around to new
Ugh. Right. Now, again, we don't know how
many. Away with this streaming stuff.
We don't know how many seasons all of these things get. Like, Falcon Winter Soldier might not even be geared for a season two. You know, there might only be one season for some of these things.
Well, then we got What If.
But, then there's just going to be something else going forward. Because we know about Moon Knight. We know about She-Hulk. You know, there's other things that they've got in the pipeline. So, yeah, I think we'll get to a point where every other week we'll be starting, you know, something new, which would be good.
5 years from now, it could be different nights of the week.
Yeah.
Different days stuff drops, you know. We had talked about that a while ago, like if things were always going to drop. But
I just, like I said, I just don't know that they'll have that many ongoing that will have multiples per week. But, you know, again, who knows? Depends on how these things do, you know. Because, like you said, if you want to get to, you know, it's impressive that they got to 28 million subscribers, let's say, in 3 months. But like you said, that's the explosion. Like, now it's going to be a trickle. So to get to 90 million, you have to have something coming all the time. You know,
well,
you can't give people time to unsubscribe. You have to keep them there all the time.
Right.
You know.
That could be this summer.
Right.
They could get – I don't think they'll get an additional 28, but that could be a big boost this fall.
Right.
You know, starting again, with especially Falcon if and Winter Soldier.
Especially knowing how the Marvel movies do in the theaters, you know, if these things start becoming required viewing to go see these movies, then that's when you're going to start seeing, I think, the subscribership go up. And, you know, you and I are biased because we're talking about Star Wars and Marvel, but, you know, there's High School Musical has a show coming up. Like, there's other avenues.
Right.
Like, Pixar's got things. So they're going to do other originals that are going to bring in people that don't care about Star Wars and Marvel. So, I mean, that we just assume that everybody's going to come for those shows, but they're going to come for other stuff, too. So,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we're just talking our section of the
because of the 28 million people that subscribed, they didn't all join up for Marvel or Star Wars either. Some of them joined up for High School Musical and, you know.
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum and, you know, Pixar and Disney and all that stuff. So, and then the last thing I had, and this was announced today too, but it looks like they cast the two boys that are going to play on the Superman and Lois show, Jonathan Kent and the brother. Yeah. I don't recognize either one of them. They're young actors. They've never been anything that I've seen. But, you know, I'm sure they do some kid shows that somebody knows about. But they're twin boys, which we got hinted at from Crisis, which is different for Superman because he's never had two sons in the comics ever. So this is going to be a different take from what we're used to. But I imagine it's still going to lead into Super Sons. And the other thing that's interesting is, like, the actors that were cast, I didn't recognize the names, but I saw their pictures. And they're definitely not infants. I mean, these are, like, you know, these are, like, adolescent to teenage kids. So, you know, it's not like we're going to have to wait 10 years to get to the Super Sons. You know, they're already going to be of age. You know, how they play that off in the show, we're not going to know yet, because, I mean, is the show going to be set 10 years after Crisis for them to have aged that much already? So who knows? Although I guess when we heard about that in Crisis, they never did say – they didn't come out and say they were infants. So she just said something about getting home to your sons. So we don't know how old they were supposed to be at that time. I would imagine if they want to keep the shows related, you know, that show can't be set 10 years in the future. You know, it's going to have to be. Although, they got Canary set 20 years in the future, so I guess they can do whatever they want. But I would imagine they're going to want Superman to still be around to play with the Flash and Supergirl.
They
all
want to be on the same Earth, the same timeline. And
so I guess we're to assume that the kids came out of Crisis as teenagers. So,
did you see Flash this week?
Yeah, I did. Really irritated me.
I thought so.
Yeah. Because they just glossed right over it, man. Like, they didn't address it at all. And I was like, it just makes me feel like Barry's a total jerk.
Well, not really. I mean, it's not just him. I mean, it's kind of, and here's the one thing. Now, obviously, let me preface this with, I agree with you.
You don't have to agree with me.
No, I do agree with you, because ever since you made that point, I thought it was a great point. Yeah. But I think the way they're addressing it, and this is me trying to put lipstick on a pig.
Trying to bright side it up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretzeling it up here.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when they came back, I wish they had pointed out that they are both just on their own. And because that episode was about the two of them not slowing down, and they had their little conversation towards the end of the episode where it's like, we need to slow down a little bit, because they were in, now that they're in post-crisis, but everything leading up to that, they thought Barry was going to die. So they were just trying to prepare for life without him. And now that he's back, they're still in that mode, but they didn't address the exactly like you said. It's like, you would have thought that you come back alive, the first thing, you're the one that was supposed to die.
Right.
And everybody thought you were going to die.
Yeah.
And you don't even, like you said, you didn't go see your wife.
Right.
I agree with you. I thought that was weird. I still like the episode.
Yeah. I mean, the episode itself was fine. It just bugged me that they just picked up like nothing happened almost.
Right.
We didn't see Ralph at all. And there was no sign of him for next week's episode either in the preview.
No.
So, I don't even think they mentioned, they didn't even talk about him, I don't think, so.
Wouldn't it be funny if he's, gone from existence?
Yeah.
And they figure out 3 weeks from now,
Right, he's like, hey,
we knew a guy named Ralph.
Yeah. I love Cisco's trading cards, although I don't know who created those.
Yeah, I know. That was pretty cool.
But that was cool.
I liked how he opened the show, and he's like, when did I get this? And he rips open his shirt, and he's wearing a Superman.
Well, and I thought it was odd that, at no point in the crisis, when they restored him as Vibe, they didn't say that they gave him back his powers temporarily. So, I was surprised that he didn't still have them when this episode started. I guess Oliver rewrote it that way, because, he would have rewrote everybody back into existence, so I guess he wrote it back in without powers, but I thought that was weird, because I thought that's how they were going to restore Vibe, but obviously they didn't, so we'll have to see.
It looks like they're still going to probably try. It seems like that's the writing, it seems like he's going to come back, because they're talking about it.
Yeah.
Like him missing it and stuff.
Yeah, well, and I don't want to get
into
spoilers.
Who knows how they do it.
So, yeah, I'm not going to say anything else on the matter.
Right.
But yeah, I think, like I said, I think overall it was a good episode. So.
Yeah. And Legends?
Didn't watch it yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
That's just a fun one.
Yeah, I'd say I don't expect that to carry over necessarily. Although we've seen Legends since Crisis anyway, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a fun episode.
Funny, that's the one that I think Crisis would least affect, because every week is a crisis change to them. They're constantly fixing the timeline.
Well, right. And like I said, they live in time travel anyway.
That's
so,
what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're constantly dealing with that. Every episode is that. So, Picard.
Yep.
What'd you think of?
Better than the first one.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
I think it's great.
Better. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to, if I put them side by side, they're both pretty even, I guess. But
yeah.
I think it was a little better, because I just like the way the story's ramping up. Without going into spoilers, I mean, there's corruption at Starfleet. There's, all kinds of stuff going on. So,
yeah, a lot of intrigue.
Yeah. I'll tell you my favorite scene. This is not a spoiler at all, but the best scene to me, and it was just the way he played it as an actor, is when he went for his meeting at Starfleet, and he walks up to the guy at the desk and says, "I have an appointment." And the guy looks at him and says, "Of course, sir." And then he stands there and waits, and he says, "Who are you?" Yeah. And it's like, he was just so incensed that the guy didn't know who he was. It's like,
right.
And I thought that was great.
He spelt his name?
Yeah, right. He's Picard. Like,
P-I-C-A-R-D.
Right. Jean-Luc. And it's Jean-Luc. Like, Luke. Everybody should know who I am, but.
And then he insults him.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, nice to see you up and around, Admiral.
Yeah. So I thought that was great because, again, you think I'm the great man. I'm Jean-Luc Picard. Everybody knows who I am.
Right.
But this is a young kid who's like 20 years old, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like the way it would be in real life. Like we all right. have. We all think we're so self-important, but then you run up to people that have no idea who you are, you know?
I know. So, I walk down the street and some people don't know that I'm a co-host of the Bright Side Chat.
I know.
It's odd, but I know.
Well, but you know, like you and Jen every Sunday go to the same restaurant, right? You go and have your drinks and, you know, and everybody there knows you, right?
Yeah, like cheers.
Right. No, but yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying, right? So Lydia and I are the same. Like, we go to breakfast every Sunday morning at the same place. And, you know, it's to the point where, you know, we walk in, our drinks appear on the table, we don't have to order anything, you know, everything happens.
Yeah.
But then you get a new waitress one week, and you get mad because you have to tell her what you want. And that's kind of how I felt like Picard, you know? It's like,
right.
Don't you know who I am? I'm here every Sunday, you know?
That's a great analogy because, Jen and I do that. We'll go up and we'll be like, we'll get a new waitress or something and be like.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, I have to train another one. And, you know, and like when we order our food and it's a Mexican restaurant, so you get beans and potatoes and this, right? And we never get the potatoes. We always say, you know, double beans, no potatoes. And we don't, now to the point where we don't tell people that anymore. But when they show up with a new waitress, I get potatoes because I didn't tell them. So
she didn't say anything. Right.
I didn't say anything. So it's kind of how I felt like Picard felt where he had to explain who he was to this kid.
Yeah. So, I don't even order anymore.
That's what I'm saying. We don't either. We just, our food just shows up. Our food and our drinks just show up on the table.
Jen gets something different, so she doesn't have a rate. I always get my same meal. Yeah. So Becky always just looks at me and she just goes, okay.
Yep.
And the only thing is she rotates the potato because it's either going to be like a loaded mashed or a baked potato.
Right.
A loaded baked.
And so she just rotates it every week.
It started with surprise me. Now I don't even speak.
Right. You just get what you get.
Yep. To the point that like I always get prime rib, so there's always all that fat left over.
Right.
Even when we go out on Sundays, when we're leaving the house, the dogs are excited.
Right. Because they know.
So even the dogs are like Picard.
Yep.
Like, you got to come home with the regular.
With the meat. Yep. With the fat.
But speaking of Picard, what I was thinking is, remember last week we said, like, we highly recommend it and we think it's a tall ask, you know, because it is another streaming service. But then I was thinking about it. It's like, we recommend books all the time.
Right. And we ask you to go spend $4. Right. Go buy one comic for $5.99 or buy a month of CBS All Access for $5.99.
Right. And it's like, so I would say with Picard, I would go, if you're at all interested or just even want to see what we're talking about, wait another week and then or two and then do the free week.
Exactly.
And you'll be able to get four episodes. Yeah. And, you know, I just, like I said, I thought it was a tall ask because it just felt like it was more expensive because it was so well done and I was so excited about it. But it's the price of a comic book.
Yep.
So, I mean, and you get more for a month, really.
Oh, for sure. Way more.
And they're actually, did you see the new show on that? I mean, this isn't comic books, but that interrogation show.
That that's what I was thinking about last week when I was telling you that they were advertising something new, but I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah,
that looks really good too. So again, if they start having multiple original programs that I'm going to enjoy, then it makes it, you know, it makes it more worth it because, you know, as of now, I'm buying it just for Star Trek.
Right.
But, if they start having other shows that are going to be good and exclusive, then, you know, it's just more value for my money, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So. All right. Let's see. What do I get? Oh, I also, did you see in the news I scored last night?
No. That was newsworthy?
It was on Twitter.
That up, Variety or We Got This Covered?
It wasn't a rumor.
Yeah. Okay.
No. So, playing last night. Now, you know, I play with TJ, and we're not only carrying over like comic talk on the bench. What was he talking about last night? Last night was a tough game. It was really, really like fast game, and we're like breathing really heavy. And he's like, can't remember what. Oh, Hawkeye. He's really enjoying Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. Next thing you know, I mean, right mid sentence, line change, gotta go. But we opened the game with a pretty good shift and I scored. And of course, it was a pass from he's like the best player on our team. And he, nice no look pass. I'm all alone in front of the net and puck goes in, whatever. So we all get in the locker room after the game and we're sitting there and we're talking. The whole room's talking. And TJ's just sitting there really quiet. And I'm like, huh. I'm like, is he in a bad mood? And he's sitting right next to me. He's just quiet.
Right.
And after like 10 minutes, all of a sudden my phone goes, I get a tweet. And I look down and his tweet was at DJ Briggs 17 of at Brightside Chat. Did you imagine the crowd cheering for you tonight when you scored the opening goal of
that
game?
That's awesome.
He goes, good
callback.
By the way. Yeah, he goes, you're welcome, by the way. My apples taste delicious. And I was just like, I start laughing and I was like, oh, okay.
It's like deep cuts for the Bright Side Chat.
Yes. Huh?
It's deep cuts for the Bright Side Chat.
Yeah, exactly.
Goes back about 10 episodes at least.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So. Yes, I did imagine. I'm still imagining.
Right.
It. Not only that,
what
I was
mean, did I? It's like I still am.
I had the play call in my head. I'm like, yeah. Remiser, Remiser to Jeopardy. Remiser back to Jeopardy. Jeopardy to the middle. Big scores.
That's awesome.
That's pretty much how it went down.
Yeah, at least in my
I
head.
I just stood there while they worked the triangle.
Right.
So, all right, enough hockey talk.
Right.
Bright Side Sports.
Yeah, the hockey pod.
All right, you got anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Last bit of news. Finally delivered the backpack.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Awesome. I was saving the picture. I'll tweet it out tomorrow with the podcast in the middle of the day. But, yep, finally met up with Dr. Joe, handed over the backpack. We met some guys. I'm going to talk about that later.
I saw that on Twitter this weekend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Tweeted that out. That's what we met up, Friendly Neighborhood. And, it's pretty cool. So he's wearing using the backpack every day.
Nice.
And he DM'd me a picture of the backpack hanging on the back of the door in his office. He's obviously a chiropractor.
Right.
And he was in the middle of a consultation the first time you meet a person.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going back and forth. And he said, he ends it with, do you have any questions for me? And they're like,
where'd you get the backpack?
No. No, they just pointed at the backpack, said, yeah, we got one of those. You're good people.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, hey, great. Good.
Helping him build his brand.
There you go. Building the brand. Yep. So that was pretty cool. He was pretty psyched. I think he's had a few drinks out of his new glass.
Nice.
And so that I know you still.
I was gonna say I haven't had any drinks out of my glass yet, but
yeah.
Just saying.
And, you know what's funny? You were here.
I know.
You could have just taken one with you.
Well,
or two.
I'm going to hit you up for a care package pretty soon because I'm out of Hermits and hot dog buns. So,
oh, that's right.
You could just cushion it between some hot dog buns and send it my way.
I was like thinking, I'm like, you can't cushion hot dog buns with a glass. No, the other way around.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. We ready to get to some books?
I think so.
All right. You got nothing else?
No.
All right. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. So first book we're going to take a look at is X-Men Fantastic Four number one. There's a Brooks connecting variant for this that's seeing a little bit of movement. Just a couple dollars over cover price, but it might be one to take a look at. If you're going to pick up the series anyways, then you might as well go ahead and grab that one. There's a book called Agritsuko, number one. I didn't order a single copy of this, so this flew under the radar for me, and I'm wondering how many stores are in a similar boat. This is based on a Netflix show, which I didn't know. I guess if I knew that, I might have ordered some of these. But this book is sold out and selling for $20+ already. I think it was Action Lab. I'm not even sure who put it out, to be honest with you. But again, it's one of the smaller publishing companies, which is the main reason why I didn't order any. But if you can find one of these out there, definitely pick it up because it is sold out and selling pretty steadily at $20.
Cool.
Lois Lane, number 8. This has a new villain called the Kiss of Death. So when I got these notes originally, this was only selling for $1 or $2 over cover price. By the end of today, this is selling for $25 to $30 already on eBay. I had people calling me. Jeez. I had people calling me. Look, another one that I did order some of these, but not a lot. Again, Lois Lane isn't a big selling title. So I didn't have a ton of these, but I was sold out early and had several calls today with people looking for this. So I don't know what is going on with the villain necessarily and why. I mean, this first appearance is of villains all the time. So I don't know why this one specifically is going so crazy, but a lot of people were looking for this. And again, this is going to be one of those books because I know that I don't order very many copies of these, and I'm sure there's not a lot of stores that have heavy Lois Lane readership. So I don't imagine there's a million of these out there. So it's definitely one to grab if you can, but I know every store within 30 miles of me was sold out today. So it's not going to be easy to find, but if you can get one, it's definitely worth grabbing. In both covers, there's two covers for it. Either one of them, they're both going for pretty good money. Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So there's a second printing of number 1 that had a thank you variant, I guess based on how many copies you ordered. That's selling for $50 to $75. And there's a thank you variant for issue number 3 that came out today that's a bit lower but selling still for $35 to $40. So these thank you variants are one per store. Again, based on how many books you order. So, not a ton. Well, I guess there's the number of these out there is equal to the number of stores around. So, So it's definitely, again, if that's something you're into, you might want to pick that up. And then lastly, we have Stabbity Bunny, issue number 9. This has a Web of Spider-Man homage cover. And it's going for just slightly over cover price, about $7 right now for that. So that's it for Speculators Corner this week.
All right. Let's get into back issue bonus.
Okay. So first book is Green Arrow, number 24. This is from the New 52 run. So a few years old. This is the first appearance of John Diggle in comic book continuity.
I wonder why he's jumping up.
You can imagine why. A lot of speculation with him and Green Lantern nowadays. This is up from like pretty much nothing to now $20 or $25. I mean, this book was not on anybody's radar until recently. So you may, again, find this in somebody's back issue bin for a couple of bucks if you dig early. So I would get out there and start looking for him.
Did you see his interview on DC Universe?
No.
For like the closing of Arrow.
Is this what we talked about last week though?
Where he, no, where, well, he was just saying, I was just going to say how he's really excited that like the role's over basically the Diggle role.
The Diggle role is over. Right.
And what he's saying is like his comment was like that role didn't exist until the CW. And he created a character.
Right.
So for him personally, he's like really, cause he was into comic books as a kid.
Yeah. Cause I'll be honest with you. I didn't even know John Diggle was in comics continuity till I saw these notes.
They put him in.
Right.
Because of
right.
the show. Yeah.
But what I'm saying, yes, but I didn't know that had even happened. So I was surprised to even see that. So yeah, I knew he created the character or. Greg Berlanti created the character, but I mean,
right.
he brought it to life.
He's the one David Ramsey.
Yeah.
He's the one that brought it to life. Yeah. So But it was just a cool comment.
Okay.
That's what I, you know, and it is a rare thing to create for a person, an actor, to create a comic book character.
Yeah, because usually they're all based on existing characters.
It's like Tom Holland didn't create Spider-Man. He's actually got to play a role, and he actually, you know, David Ramsey got a chance to actually create the mannerisms and the personality and all of that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Very cool. All right, next book we have is from Boom Studios, Mimetic, issue number 1. This is from 2014. I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, but Seth Rogen is adapting this into a film from Lionsgate. So again, you know the deal, $30 or so is the current ask on this. Again, this looks like it's, you know, definitely going into production, so I would expect this to hold its value for a while and maybe even go up a little higher than that. So get out there and start looking for it. Next, we have Vision and Scarlet Witch, issue number 12. So this one, you know, this one may or may not hold. You know, the teaser clip that aired during the Super Bowl showed Wanda being pregnant. So obviously she had these twins in the comic books, and this is the first appearance of them. This by no means guarantees that she's going to have twins or even have kids in this show, you know, because
dream sequence.
Right. We know it could be anything, any number of things. So currently this book is $30 to $40. Depending on what happens in December with this show, you know, this book could, you know, fall right through the cellar, or it could, you know, it could double in price. You know, you just don't know. And then last but not least, we have Thor number 372. This is the first appearance of the Time Variance Authority. So in the Loki trailer, he has a jumpsuit with initials TVA on it. So that's what we're assuming is the Time Variance Authority. So again, this could or could not hold its value depending on what happens in this show. But right now it's $15 to $20. You know, till we find out what TVA stands for when Loki comes out. And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. Let's get into FOC for Monday. Looks like a pretty decent list this week.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not a giant FOC, but there's some good books here. So first one is from Ablaze Comics. This is Cimmerian, Queen of the Black Coast. So this is actually a Conan book. And this one had a little difficulty getting released because Conan, the rights now are with Marvel. But these are reprinting some comics that were done in France, I believe, and they're being translated for the English audience. And Ablaze got the rights to these stories and announced this months ago, but then it kind of went into development limbo, and now it's back, so... So these are like more, well, I mean, all Conan stories are adult oriented, I guess, but you know, these are a little bit more, R rated than what you're going to see in Marvel. I believe they're all, from what I've seen, they're all black and white. And they look pretty cool. So again, I'm a Conan fan. So if you're a Conan fan, I would look for these, because there are other stories that are outside of Marvel.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. From DC, we have variant covers for Batman number 90, Francesco Mattina, and Justice League number 19. There's a Scan variant. Both of those look pretty cool. And then for new series, we have Strange Adventures, issue number 1. This is a 12-issue series. There's 3 covers for it. I put a Facebook post out about this today. I got a chance to read issue number 1 today.
Cool.
This is the Tom King series with Mitch Garrod and Doc Shaner. So, you know, same team that did Mr. Miracle last year. This book looks really good. I read the first issue. Like I said, I really loved it. It turned out completely different at the end to what it looked like it was going to be at the beginning. And it really was written well. It had great art. And I think this is going to be a good series. So I wouldn't sleep on this. It's a Black Label book. So, you know, anything can happen. Definitely I would get out and get orders placed for this. before Monday. You know, it's a character, Adam Strange, that you wouldn't think would have a huge following, and that's why, you know, I don't know how deep a lot of stores are going to go on this book. You know, knowing his history with, you know, because you could say the same thing last year about Mr. Miracle.
Yeah.
But knowing how well that book turned out and the Vision series, you know, Tom King has his fans. But the character isn't one you would think would have a huge following. So I would definitely get out there. I'm going to order pretty heavy on it, though, because I liked it and I think it's going to sell pretty well. So, and I think I mentioned
that one.
Yeah, I think I mentioned, but there's three covers for it. Yeah. All right. That's it for DC. From Image Comics, we have Mercy, issue number one. This has six covers. I also have read this book, and I liked it also. This is Mirka Indolfo, who did Unnatural for Image Comics last year, which was a pretty good series. And like I said, this one I read, and I enjoyed, so I also recommend this book. And from Marvel, we had no variant covers. Most of them weren't available. But there's several new series. There's 2020 Rescue, issue number one. This is a two-issue miniseries. Rescue, of course, is the Pepper Potts Iron Man.
Yes.
Iron Woman, I guess, or Rescue, I guess, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, this is going with the Iron Man 2020 event. There's Marvel number one. So this is the continuation of Marvel's X, I think, was the last one that was out. And this is a six-issue series with two covers. We have Spider-Man Noir, issue number one of five with multiple covers. Star Wars Bounty Hunters, this is issue number one. I believe this is just a one-shot, though. Multiple covers for it.
Is it?
I think so, because I couldn't see where it was an ongoing, but it also didn't list any number of issues. So I think it's just a one-shot. I could be wrong, but I didn't see a number two anywhere. So we'll have to see, you know, in a couple of weeks if it gets solicited.
What are the stories that, yeah, I've been seeing in the back, because obviously in Star Wars 1, Star Wars 2, and now Vader 1.
Right.
They've been saying, I thought that was one of them.
It probably is. It's probably going to spin out, because again, this is all the Empire era bounty hunters.
Yeah.
So, you know, I imagine this is all going to be in this Empire, you know, post-Empire continuity that we're in right now with all the Star Wars titles. So,
yeah.
And again, this could be, you know, this could go on, because, I mean, the Bounty Hunters could be any number of stories. I just didn't see where it was listed, so, like I said, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
And then, lastly, from Marvel, we have Strange Academy, issue number one, and there's multiple covers for it. Next, from Boom Studios, we have King of Nowhere, number one of five, with three covers. From Action Lab Comics, we have Twin Worlds, number one, just one cover. And from Oni Press, we have Dryad, issue number one, and there's two covers for it. And that's it for FOC.
Oh, cool. Before we get to checkout, I want to make note. Remember, we talked about the tweet earlier. I found it.
Okay.
From Tom Bellows. At TL Bellows on Twitter. Haven't listened yet, but that movie was one of the worst ever. I had my 10th birthday party at the theater to watch it, and some of my friends still haven't spoken with me since.
Yeah.
Regarding Star Trek. So I just wanted to give him the credit.
Right.
And so credit where credit's due. If his friends are listening, he feels bad.
Right. You can forgive him now.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into some comic books here that we... What have we been checking out this week? So what do you got? What are you going to start with?
Okay, so the first book I have is Adler, number one, from Titan Comics. Again, I mentioned this a few weeks ago when it was on FOC. This is Irene Adler from the Sherlock Holmes stories. Yeah. So I don't know if anybody has watched the Sherlock series on Netflix with Benedict Cumberbatch and...
I haven't seen it yet.
I can't think of it. What's the other guy's name from Martin? He was in The Hobbit, and he's in the Marvel movies. I can't think of his name. But anyways, this book has the exact same setup as that TV show. As I was reading through this, I'm like, I've seen all this before, and it's basically Sherlock, except she's playing the role of Sherlock. Like, she finds a roommate in exactly the same way that Sherlock and Watson come together in the TV show. And I just found myself thinking that this book was just literally the first episode of Sherlock, but with Irene instead of Sherlock.
Right.
To the point where, like, again, Irene is like his love interest slash bad guy, you know, character, in the stories. Where in this book, it seemed like she was Sherlock. Like, she was, like, she's an actress, but she, when she first meets Jane, who's the person she becomes a roommate with, like, she does the Sherlock routine on her and, like, looks her up and down and tells her whole life story because, right. because she did all the deductive reasoning there. So, I don't know, like, I felt, like, the, you know, the story was written well and the art I liked, but I felt like it was just, like, just episode one of Sherlock with different people.
Say, same old, same
yeah,
old.
Yeah, it was just, yeah. I don't know. I felt like they just gender bent that episode. And I was like, I don't know why this is so unoriginal. But, I don't know where this is going to go. But again, even in this, like, Moriarty was like she's going to go up against Moriarty in this. So again, it's just like Sherlock. Except right. she's not the detective. So I don't really know what's going on with this book, but like I said, the art was good. It looked good. You know, it still was interesting. It's just, I was like, I've seen all this. I've seen this movie already, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if you read it or,
No, I didn't. I was interested to see.
And I guess, if you haven't seen that show, you wouldn't have even picked up on any of that. But
right.
it was just literally almost beat for beat how that episode went. So,
yeah, I mean, I was kind of, I saw it on the shelf and I'll be honest, like I said, I've been trying to find more fun stuff.
Yeah.
And that didn't look fun. Nothing against it. It just looked more serious.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, it wasn't for me right now. I'm looking for more fun stuff. So I was when I saw that you put it on the list, I was like, interested to hear how it was.
It was kind of fun.
It looked decent. Like
it was a little fun. Like it had some humor and stuff. Like I wouldn't necessarily say you wouldn't enjoy it. I just felt like I've seen this already. Because it just felt like she was just taking the place of Sherlock Holmes and it was just going to be a Sherlock Holmes story. So
right.
like I don't know what the take on her was supposed to be. And maybe it goes completely different in issue two, but that's how I felt about the first one. But like I said, it had some funny moments. It was definitely fun, but yeah, like I said, I thought it was a little too on the nose for, you know, what they already did with Sherlock. So
yeah. All right. You want fun. I don't have it in my notes, but I read... Now, this was fun. The Immortal Hulk, Great Power.
Yeah.
Did you read that?
No, not yet.
Oh, wow. It's a one-off, right?
Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah.
It was so fun. I really, really enjoyed it. Lot of good humor. Pretty good story. It was a pretty good story for what's going on. You haven't been keeping up with Immortal Hulk?
No,
right?
That's what I was gonna say. I'm a little bit off the Immortal Hulk train right now, okay. So this wasn't on my radar necessarily, but, and I don't know how much it, cause you don't read Immortal Hulk at all, so.
No, I did.
You did?
It.
Okay.
I was probably up into like 20 something.
Okay.
But yeah, I haven't.
I stopped at 25 because it went too bizarro. I haven't been back since. So
yeah, so this has really nothing. That's what I was going to ask you. If you are current on Immortal Hulk, I was going to see if it had a lead in, but you don't need it.
That's right. Why I was going to say, if you don't need it.
It explains the story. It's just something happens and you come in. This is a one-off story and it's like Hulk, basically Spider-Man gets Hulk's powers for the book.
Right.
So, and he needed them, and then it's how do we get him out of Spider-Man? And So there's some good sciencey stuff in there, and there's a really cool scene where, well, Spider-Man in this continuity, his identity is secret to everybody.
Okay.
And, but anyways, so they start talking, but a couple of, I won't tell you who the other characters are in it, but they're like, they know how smart Spider-Man is. And they start going sciencey stuff, and they're like, why are we listening to him? And somebody goes, give it a minute. And all of a sudden, like, Peter Parker, Spider-Man starts spouting all this science knowledge, and they're like,
right,
there it is. It was really cool. Like, he could figure out the problem and stuff. It was really good. But there was some really good repetitive humor in there, too, where they made a couple of jokes like, oh, you're still going with that, huh? Okay. And, like, sarcasm. It was a good mix between Hulk and Spider-Man, obviously, seeing their mix.
Right.
And it was, I really, really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It's a one-off, so I definitely recommend, if you're a Hulk and Spider-Man fan, it's a fun read.
Cool.
All right, let's do, you want to do spoiler-free of Vader now?
Yeah, sure.
All right, that was the other one I read.
Yeah.
And obviously the other one you read. So your comment earlier was, much till the end, right?
No, that wasn't necessarily my feeling on it. It was just that when you asked if we wanted to do the Kryptonite Key Club on it, my comment was the only thing that would qualify would be the last page.
Right.
Otherwise, I wasn't saying that as an indictment at all on how I felt about the book.
Right.
I just didn't know, you know, if it warranted a spoiler-filled review, because there's only one page that really mattered.
Right. I thought, and it's like, as I was reading it, I kind of felt the same way. I was like, but after having read Star Wars number one, a lot of Star Wars number one was repetitive of the end of Empire.
Right.
Right? With a little bit extra backstory, like we talked about then with the conflict between Leia and Lando and stuff that maybe you didn't get in the movies that you got here. So you got a little bit more backstory. And that this book pretty much followed that same pattern.
Well, yeah, because...
Right?
Right, because Star Wars number one picks up with... You know, basically right after the battle between Vader and Luke, where Luke falls down the chute and he's hanging on the weather vane, and we get to see the fallout of that battle through Luke's point of view, right?
Right.
And so this book is essentially the other side of that. It picks up in the exact same place, and we get to see the fallout from Vader's point of view.
It's really good.
And what Vader does, like how he responds to, you know, figuring out that he has a son also. Because, you know, you always see it from the other side, right? Like, Luke's finding out that Vader's his father. But, you know, at some point, you know, that's when Vader's kind of realizing that Luke's his son, too, right? And how does that affect him
right
in his story going forward? You just never saw that point of view. So that's what this book gives you. Like, what his journey is like in the days following that encounter is kind of what this book is. And where it's going to go for how many issues this one goes, you know, we don't really know. But I thought it was an interesting take on a story that we've never seen, or a side of the story that we've never seen. So I actually liked the book a lot. I just didn't feel like there was a lot of new ground necessarily being discovered.
No, but there's a couple of things.
But right. But there's, you know, obviously, you know, we've already teased it a couple times. There is one big event that happens in this book that we'll talk about at the end of the show that, you know, really changes the game going forward.
Right.
So
I think that's what I wrote, right?
Yeah.
Game changers.
Yeah.
But I still liked it,
you know.
Oh, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot, but I did find myself thinking like it was really following the same pattern as Star Wars. But I liked it. I liked the little extra backstory we got, and I'll get into more of that in later. But there's a couple of panels that I really liked, how the you know, information that you got that was in, you know, just pictures. Pretty cool. Yeah, as a Star Wars fan, I would highly recommend this.
Yeah, because there was a couple of things that I never put together in the past until I saw him in this book also. Again, we'll talk about that at the end of the show too. And it's things that maybe I should have put together if I put enough thought into it, but I didn't. You know, just things that never occurred to me. So,
right.
So yeah, I thought that was, like I said, there was some good information in here. And I really liked it. You know, again, and I'm in a major Star Wars, you know, frame of mind right now because I finished the Clone Wars last night, actually. So, knee deep. Well, because the last week or so, like, I've just been going through them. Like, I've been, you know, watching like 6 or 7 of these a night. I've been up till like 3 o'clock in the morning because they just good. Like, they just keep rolling. I was like, oh, well, I'll just watch one more. And it's like, oh, well, I'll just watch one more. And,
yeah, because they're only 20 minutes. Yeah.
And next thing I know, I've watched like 8 episodes. I watched all of season 6 last night. I watched all 13 episodes yesterday.
Yeah, it's only 30. I'm almost done. I'm almost to season 6. So I'll definitely be in time.
Yeah.
But yeah, you blew through
But
that.
But yeah, because now I'm like, oh man, I finished too early. Now I can't, like, I'm jonesing for season 7. You know that I have to wait
in there somewhere.
Yeah, I have to wait two more weeks for. So
yeah, yeah. See, I'm pacing myself out nicely. What else did you read this week?
What else did I read? Oh, I read Fantastic Four versus the X-Men issue 1.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
I liked it too. Yeah. And I almost didn't read it.
Oh yeah,
I opened it up and I looked and I said I saw it. It had the same writing as like X-Men, right? And I'm looking for something that's more fun. And I love Fantastic Four, so yeah. I'm like, all right, I'll get it. And there is a white page, not a white page, but there is an information page.
There is a data page.
I got a little aggravated when I got to that. I want fun right now. Yeah. I don't know why. It's a mindset I have. But this was fun.
Yeah, it was.
It was a good book, and this to me seems almost more fun than X-Men because you're getting the mix. You know what I mean? The mix.
Yeah. Well,
the tone's different.
Yeah, the tone is definitely different than the X-Men book. Because the last issue of X-Men that came out last week was pretty. I don't want to say it was dark, but it was somber. You know what I mean? Like, wasn't fun at all. You know, it was a good book, don't get me wrong, but but there's no fun happening in that book. But this book was, you know, was fun. Again, bringing in the Fantastic Four brings in some of that element anyways. But yeah, I think this is good. It's only a 4-issue series, mini series, so I'm looking forward to it. I really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. It was really good. Did you read let's see. Did you get to Daredevil today?
No. The only other book I read was Batman.
88? What'd you think?
I liked it better than the last two.
It's just so much fun. For a Batman story, it is a fun story.
Yeah, I like this one a little more. I loved the vehicle in this one.
the Porsche?
Yeah.
It's called a Porsche.
Yeah.
But they spelt it like from Shakespeare or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. P-O-R-T-I-A, I think they spelled
it. Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, you know, Batmobile in a belt, which was pretty cool.
That was, yeah.
But, yeah, the story's shaking out a little bit more.
You bust through the wall?
Yeah.
You bust through the wall? You know that doesn't have the armor, right?
Right.
He goes, I'll reimburse you.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a little bit more fun, I think, than the first two issues that Tinian did. You know, I'm a little bit more invested in the story. And what's, you know, the mystery is, you know, kind of deepening a little bit to what's going on. So I don't know. I liked it more than the last couple.
Yeah. Well, I'm liking it all along.
Yeah.
I do agree. This one probably seems more fun, more engaging because you have those two stories going on.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, you really want to see what's going to happen here. It looks like he's pacing it out to, potentially create a different world than what we're accustomed to right now.
Yeah, well, and even though
if I can put it that way.
Even though it featured Batman and Catwoman, they had no interaction in this book at all, so there was no awkward dialogue between the two of them that I felt
well, they had
like,
a couple, didn't, they talked quickly.
Very, brief very quickly, but it was like, it was like mission debriefing kind of thing. It wasn't like relationship.
Right,
situation,
but the conversation they had and how it was like, what, cut off or whatever was, is kind of compelling.
Yeah.
It's, what's that going to lead to? Let's see, what else? Oh, I read Red Agent number 2. That's where I'm enjoying that. That's another fun one.
Yeah, Zenoscope.
Yep. And Joker Harley Criminal Sanity.
Yeah, I haven't got to it yet.
Number 3. That still good. I love the mix of like real life into the comics and how they're, you know, she's a forensic doctor and
right.
I just really enjoy the book. I love the art. I had a conversation with Dr. Joe when we had exchanged the backpack, and he's like, he's creeped out by the art.
Oh yeah,
he's like, it's too real. Realistic. That hyper realistic is. I thought that this number 3 didn't have as much hype. I don't think it had any hyper realistic stuff in it.
No, so it was kind of all the black and white.
Well, no, just not like, you know how in the last two there were a couple of panels that looked photographic.
Yeah, but they were like the color panels.
Right. Yeah. Well, this one has color panels, but they're not as photographic. Okay. They're not as much. But, and the last book I'll talk about was The Legend of Beard Fist. That book that I picked up from Curtis Parvin,
okay,
and Drew Kelly, the guys that we met at Friendly Neighborhood. Pretty cool. They own Splash Page Comics. Which is, that's what they're, I guess, publishing through, is that's right. The company that they're putting the book out to. The book is unbelievable stock. Real glossy, heavy cover, really nice. I like the story. It's I bought all three books, but I just felt that the story could have been one book.
Oh, yeah.
If you know what I mean. It's like, it was good. I love the premise of it, so it's basically this girl reminiscing. It opens up with her reminiscing about meeting Beard Fist, and then she's telling the legend of Beard Fist.
Okay.
But there's some good elements in here about for all intents and purposes, domestic violence, abuse. There's some break. I mean, there's some good stories in here that are, I think, that send good messages. I just felt that, like, in three stories, this could have been, like, one story, maybe two stories,
right.
Two books. But, I mean, I'm definitely going to follow it. I want to see how these guys do because they're just starting out.
Right.
So it's pretty cool meeting them and stuff. And we had a great conversation when I got there a little early before Dr. Joe got there. And I was talking to him for a bit, and I was telling him about the podcast. And they're like, I mean, I'm talking to them in a comic book store.
Right.
And I'm telling them I have a podcast about hanging out in a comic book store.
Right.
They're like, sounds like it's right up my alley. I go, that's the point. Yep. But, it's a decent book if you can find it. Or you can actually contact them if you want to check it out. I would say get the first two. And then if you're interested, that they said 4 is coming out soon or something like that. But Curtis, you can find on Twitter. Let me see. Where is he? Twitter.com/dollarstorefilm. That's where you can reach him. And you can reach Drew at Nerdy Lumberjack. It says Twitter.com/nerdylumberjack. That's what it says in the back of the book.
Cool.
But I'll be tweeting them out again tomorrow. I'll retweet everything, the picture and stuff of meeting them and their links and stuff like that. But you can sign up and they can deliver the book to you because I don't know what stores get it right now.
Yeah, I've never heard of it, to be honest with you. So I don't think it was through previews or anything. If it was, I didn't see it there, but cool.
See you now?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fantasy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, typically that's not my cup of tea, but I thought it was, you know, it was a decent quick read. But like I said, three books could have been one, maybe two. So, all right. Is that it for this week? Are we ready to lock the door?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Anybody listening in my area, I am going to be at Friendly Neighborhood on Saturday. They're having a toy collectors thing meeting where Slade has organized that, so I'll probably be down there between 12 and 2 at some time.
I know a couple of our listeners are going to be there that I've talked to already. So it looks interesting. It's the collector's market instead of just comic books, so I'm kind of interested in that and how they take the pictures and stuff, so that looks like fun. And let's see. All right. Well, let's just wrap it up, and then we'll lock the doors.
All right.
Let us know what you guys read this week. You can tweet us at brightside_chat. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. All the great podcasts there. Go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. That would be great. But yeah, let us know what you guys read. Because like I said, I'm looking for some fun stuff. Fun stuff. Not dark. Not informative. I don't want to have to think too much.
I don't want words. Just want pretty pictures.
And an interesting pop-up book.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's get out of here. Let's lock the door. And let's get into it.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. All right. Is the door locked?
It is.
All right. Darth Vader. That was, like I said, I didn't think it was slow. I thought the book was, everything was, it was a lot of recapping, obviously, of the scene in Empire with literally word for word.
Right.
But then there were extras.
Yes.
You know, there was some extra stuff in there that you didn't, that we didn't know about.
Right, basically his thought bubbles, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was pretty cool how they put in, like, the actual dialogue from the movie.
Yes.
But then, like you said, then they added some more stuff to it.
Well, because Vader's so expressionless, right? Like, you can't get a read on him ever because...
well, he's behind
Well,
a
right,
mask.
That's what I'm saying. So there's no...
right.
Like, you have no context. Like, Vader's always just Vader. He's, you know, it's stoic. So...
right.
And again, in the movies, there's no internal monologue. You don't know what he's thinking or, you know, what he's feeling because it's never revealed to you. So this book right. gave you some of that, you know. Like, it's kind of sets up his redemption, really. Like, at the end
yes.
of Jedi, like, this is already setting up the conflict and the feelings that he has when he... meets his son, you know, for the first time.
Right.
But it's a different take. Like, he has a, like, he feels like his son is weak and he's angry at the people that made him that way. Like, he sets out for revenge against the people that molded him to be weak, you know, and,
right.
But also he talks about the strength that he has at the same time, you know, so it was a weird, you know, I don't know, fatherly, pride, I guess, in one sense.
Yeah.
But then, like, an anger because he felt like he was raised, you know, he wasn't raised in the dark side, so, you know.
Right. Like, it's almost like he wanted to, if I had known all this, I would have raised him to be
exactly,
strong.
Exactly, right. He was mad at the people that hid him from him.
From him.
Right. And wanted to take revenge.
And in this book, he, obviously in this book, he doesn't know, like, Obi-Wan.
No, he didn't, right. He doesn't know.
He doesn't know that yet.
Right.
I thought that was, they haven't revealed how he found out, well, other than being Skywalker.
Well, his name, right. We talked about that in the past, like.
Right.
There was no mystery there, right? Is Luke Skywalker, so. You know, all Obi-Wan had to do was give him any other name, and, you know, it might have been a little bit harder for him to figure it out, but...
But that's the thing, is you wonder, it's like, on Tatooine, did Luke use his last... Like, is his last name registered with everybody that they know? Because he's living with Lars.
Right.
So, they don't have the Skywalker last name.
Right.
You know, so, it's... I guess I can forgive that little...
Well, and how does Vader get his name ever anyways? Like, he never ran into him on the Death Star. Like, when Luke was there rescuing Leia, like, he doesn't come in contact with Vader. And right. just because he blows up the Death Star doesn't mean Vader automatically knows his name. Like, I don't know how he figured out his name in the first place. It's not like, I guess the Rebels, after they blew up the Death Star, like, it was on the news. Like, local farm boy Luke Skywalker blows up the Death Star, news at 5. It's like, you know, how did he even get his name, you know?
That's so funny, even thinking of it that way, because that literally could be happening. Right. You know, like, you could actually picture that happening, like...
You know, the galactic broadcast.
We'll tell you who blew up the Death Star.
First, a word from our sponsors.
Yeah.
You know, got blue milk.
Yeah. Oh man, that's good.
But before we get to the big spoiler at the end, like, I felt really dumb that I didn't put the pieces together with Lars and the homestead, right? Because I know Owen and Beru Lars were the caretakers of Luke, right? But I didn't realize, I guess, that Vader's mother, Shmi, was married to Lars. Because
you didn't know that? That was
I should have.
When they came back to find her and he was like in the wheelchair.
Right. Well,
and he couldn't go after her.
But
and
again,
he took her from slavery.
What I never really put together was that it would have been the same house. You know, like, I never really realized that Anakin grew up in that same house that Luke grew up in. You know?
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
That was in...
I didn't. That was... I guess somehow it went right over my head, you know?
Yeah, wow.
I never noticed that until I read it, and I was like, oh, shit.
Language!
That's, like, the same house. Sorry, you'll have to beat that out. I don't know why I didn't know that. Like, I've seen the... We've established that I saw The Phantom Menace like 2,700 times in the movie theater, but somehow that...
It was actually in
Oh, that would have been in Clone, yeah. But still, I don't know. For some reason,
Attack of the Clones.
That never clicked to me that like they grew up in the same
house.
That's
funny.
You know?
That's funny, yeah.
You know, I that's why I was saying I should have known that, but I didn't until I read it today.
Wow.
So I just was like...
I thought it was...
Interesting.
I liked how they used that robot. They wrote that into that little robot guy that can get all the info. He compiles information so he can figure out everything. So, like, you know, Vader's, I thought a few times in this book, Vader was going to chop him down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, cause
definitely.
He just didn't like what the robot was saying.
Right.
But all right. You want to get to the big reveal?
Yeah.
Anything? Oh, actually, there was one other thing that I really liked. That, like you said, it softened. It's starting to soften the whole image, Vader, setting him up for the end of Jedi. And there was there were three panels, and it was when Luke fell down the shaft.
Right.
And the three panels were, one of them had Luke in it, the other one had Padme, and then his mother.
Right.
And all three of them were falling down the shaft in the same exact position.
Right, same position.
Right? Like, Luke's got his arm across them, but his arm is missing the hand.
Right.
And then all the other two characters in the exact same pose, but they had the hand there. And it was, that's basically, you know, they're telling you that when Luke fell, and when you saw this in Empire, and Vader is looking down with his hand out.
Right.
If you remember, he was reaching down to him as he fell.
Well, he was, but he was more
watching him fall.
Yeah, reaching to get him to join him.
Right,
know.
But then when he fell, you could see, I mean, he looked down and his hand is
reaching
down to him. Not like he could catch him, there was no way.
Right.
But I'm just setting the scene. But now, according to this, the image in his head was, he's lost his son, he's lost his wife, and he's lost his mother.
Right.
And those three images all flashed before him when Luke fell.
Right.
And you're like, he's more human than he is Vader. I thought, in just those three frames, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, well, and I like the, you know, like his memory, because while the droid's kind of explaining to him about Padme and hanging out with Anakin Skywalker, you know, it's like having no idea that he's talking to Anakin. But then he goes on to tell the story about how the Tusken Raiders, you know, all got slaughtered. And he's like picturing it in his head, you know, like having those memories that, you know, again, this was me. So, yeah, it was kind of like the human emotions were all there. And you never saw that before with Vader. Like, you never had the sense that he had any emotions or feelings about anything. That he was, again, you know, like they said, more machine than man. But this kind of brings it the other way, where, you know, there's a lot of human still there. And, you know, you got to see, like I said, the inner turmoil of what he lives with every day. So, I don't know, I thought it was really cool. Because even when we've seen him in the other series, like even the other two previous Vader series, there was no, like...
It's robotic.
Right, there was no inner monologue like that. There was no sense that there was anything going on in his mind other than just being Vader and killing everybody, you know? But in this book, you get a very different take on him. So that's why I think it's going to be pretty interesting. And then obviously the spoiler at the end that we're going to talk about, we didn't get to see his reaction really to it. We won't get to see that till issue two. But you can imagine what kind of turmoil.
Well, we got the dialogue.
Well, one word.
We got the one bubble.
Right.
Padme.
Right.
And when I turned that page, I love when they set that up. That's something that's unique to comics.
Right.
That they can, you know, they pace the page.
Right, so you can just turn the page. Right.
So that you have to turn and it's a full page. Yep. And it's you know, and you're like, holy crap.
Right.
And as soon as it happened, as soon as I turned the page, I was like, that is possible.
Well,
that is absolutely 100% possible. We all took for granted that she died.
Right.
But they hit everybody else.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, it definitely could be possible. Now, I knew, like, I already knew the spoiler before I read
did
it.
You?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, being a retailer, it was spoiled in the retailer groups.
Thanks for not telling me, though. That was it was fun.
Well, I only knew earlier today. I knew yesterday. I didn't know early enough that I could have ordered 50 more copies because I would have liked to known that. But I knew yesterday because things break in the retailer groups, on the speculator sites and stuff. So very little surprises me in comics anymore, unfortunately, because I've read the synopsis way before it comes out.
Right.
So, I mean, I didn't have the surprise when I turned the page, but still the first thing that popped in my head was like, how? But then it's like, you know, it definitely could be, because again, you just make assumptions that at the end of, you know, the movie that she dies, because we're told that she does. But again, now you wonder, where was she? Where's she been? There's so many questions that come up now.
Oh my God,
yeah, it's like,
that's what you're like, I gotta
know.
Why
didn't you reach out to your kids? Like, what's going on?
Well, she probably couldn't. Or maybe she did.
You know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe she did, but they don't know. You know, for all we know, she was a character in their life that they didn't know that was her mother.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's so much that they could do because we took for granted that she was gone.
Right.
And it's,
I guess the only thing that,
they did have a funeral for her.
Right. But I guess what will,
at the end of Phantom,
what will bother me though, in this book is if she starts having interactions with Luke and Leia, because it throws out everything that was said in Return of the Jedi. Like she can't reveal herself to them in these comics.
That's what I mean. Yeah. But she could interact with them, just not say who she is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's definitely possible. I mean, let's just see how this plays.
Well,
all we know, she's an image in his head.
I don't think
I don't either.
I don't think but I don't want him to undo canon. You know what I mean? Like, it's very expressly stated in Return of the Jedi that Leia doesn't remember her mother except for images, and Luke says he has no memory of his mother. So if this comic comes out and says, oh yeah, we knew her, she was our mom, that's going to bother me.
Yeah, but what about just what you just said there? That is canon. I only remember my mother in images, but how would she remember her in images if she died at birth? So there could be something.
Well, just...
You know, we're just playing with stuff here. I mean, but
yeah.
You wouldn't remember your mother if she died at birth. So if she remembers
I think that
from
just,
images.
I attribute that to the backwards writing of the way that, just like how they don't remember
right,
the droids.
But that's a hole right here. That's something that they could work with.
The implication was still that the mother died when she was, you know, a child. So I don't know.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's
it was definitely shocking turning the page. And going forward, that's going to be fun. Right. Is that going to translate into the Star Wars
now,
book? Or is she just in Vader?
Well, that's what I'm saying. And I don't know. Cause in issue two, he could take out his lightsaber and cut her head off, and that's going to be the end of that, who knows? So it's like in the Vader
that's
series
the Vader
where, where that maid followed him around and he just stabbed her and, walked away. be like that kind of thing.
Jeez.
So then we don't have to worry about her interacting with Luke and Leia. But the other question is, again, they interact because he's in her quarters that's sealed. She didn't seek him out, right? She was there and he breaks in. That's where she was hiding.
What it is?
Yeah, she was hiding in her quarters on Coruscant. Because it says she...
Oh, in her
In her
quarters.
Old quarters. So, I guess, because my question is does she know that's Anakin at that point? She may not. All she knows is it's somebody that broke into her apartment when she was hiding,
It's been a long time. I'm sure she's been contacted by... Obi-Wan knows by now. This is at the end of Empire, you remember, so...
Right, but what I'm saying is it's not common knowledge that Darth Vader is Anakin Skywalker. Some people know, obviously Palpatine knows and Obi-Wan knows, but the droid doesn't know. So it's not common knowledge. So she may not know.
Yeah, but I would think she had been in contact with Obi-Wan over the years. I would have to imagine because he was there at the birth. He's probably one of the few people that knows she's actually alive.
Right. And obviously Obi-Wan knows that Anakin is Vader, but what I'm saying is that not everybody knows that. So.
There's a lot of things they could do. Yeah. There's so many different directions they can go with this. I really hope it's not an image in his head, like we said earlier, but there's so much.
I don't think it is because he says Padme out loud. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think, and especially where they were, they were in her sealed quarters
her
where she's probably been hiding for, 18 years or whatever it's been. So. Although,
yeah.
I don't know how she's hiding in a sealed room forever. I don't know where she's getting food from, so. Well, but I'm saying, if she's in a sealed room.
Domino's.
If she's in a sealed room, theoretically, nobody knows she's in there. So.
Right.
I don't know how she's getting anything, how she's getting supplies brought into her if nobody knows she's there, so.
Right.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens next issue.
Yep. Can't wait. And that comes out later this month, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait. All right. Wrap it up?
Sure.
All right. Let's get out of here. We will be back on
Monday
with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hey.
We got hot takes. Yeah. We're going to bring the heat on a recent movie.
Yeah. That everybody's seen.
Well, when have we talked about a movie nobody's seen? Oh, we did Tusk.
Yeah.
So, all right. We'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors.
This has been a Hey Fred production.
with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.